Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome in on a Tuesday.
Tuesday, baby.
Bob's Day. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, our executive producer. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Damn glad to have you.
It's a shame the cameras aren't working because this was going to be our first Tuesday with no shirts on. Shirtless Tuesday.
I never know if he's serious or not.
I'm ready to take it off. Let's go. Those cameras working, Mac.
I'll put a shirt back on.
I would trim my chest.
That makes you itch, man. Like, not it, really. Oh, God.
I don't. Every once in a while, I like the little pluck. It lets me know that I'm awake.
Got to pluck it a little bit, man. Yeah. If you're not plucking, you're not doing it right, especially your eyebrows.
Oh, I don't do that.
Oh, you get those long eyebrow hairs that want to poke people in the eye when you look at them. You got to rip that thing out, man.
I did know that I was getting older because I was starting to look at nose trimmers.
Oh, you got to get one of those too. Every day, nose hair, ear hair. Like, if you got nose hair hanging out, man, that's just creepy. Cut your nose hairs.
Well, you could have half your head missing smoking a cigarette in the middle of Nashville.
You could have that as well.
we will discuss the game that was last night that on a turn of a dime ended up being like a hell of a game. First half was miserable. Very slow. And then, of course, the NFL and its parody, another favorite loses and Atlanta wins, and that's the team that the Kansas City Chiefs will play. But before we get into that, some news out of yesterday that former Chief and running back Kareem Hunt will be having a discussion for the first time since 2018. And Kansas City, I am a lot like you. I am on the discussion of, I never thought I'd see this again.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a buddy of mine, former worker here, Ron Hughley, who had the same thought that I had. And he's like, I remember the day on the air when they released Kareem Hunt. I told myself that was his last time to ever be in a Chiefs jersey. How wrong we both were. Bob, you were made aware yesterday that he was going to be in town, work out with the team, and then today is a new day and more information will come out, but it would be a very apparent and obvious that one Kareem Hunt, former Chiefs running back, is in town and is probably going to work out for the Chiefs.
Well, yeah, he was at the facility yesterday, and he will work out for the organization today, and then they'll make a decision on whether or not they want to sign him. I've asked some people around the league if he has anything left in the tank, because, as you know, running backs, especially, you know, that are approaching the ripe old age of 30, now Kareem just turned 29, but still, mm-hmm. he's you know, getting closer to 30. Usually those guys don't have any shelf life left, and so I asked some people around the league, I'm like, does this guy have anything left whatsoever? And the response was, we have no idea. They'll have to see once he works out. And mm-hmm. I always throw up the narrative of 31 NFL teams up until this point did not think Kareem Hunt had anything left in the tank. And I don't want to say it's desperate times right now, because I did hear somebody call into Ben Maller's show this morning and said, Patrick Mahomes could line up stick figures in the backfield and the Chiefs would be just fine. And that's kind of how I feel about it as well with the running back position. So we'll have to see whether he has something. But more importantly, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about Kareem Hunt coming potentially back to Kansas City. And,
this is fair.
You know, and I think a lot of people kind of feel that way, because he was, you know, kicked off the team for all intents and purposes because he lied to ownership. I mean, that was the whole thing back in 2018. He lied about the situation in which he was in. And the Chiefs basically said, you're dead to us. Please move on. Now, people do deserve a second opportunity. I'm not opposed to that at all. But just the way that one went down was a very, very strange way to cut somebody. And now we're kind of, you know, 5-6 years later going, oh, my God, let's bring this guy back because it's quote unquote desperate times, if you will. But you've got to do your due diligence. You've got to find out who's out there. The thing that I've understood about this whole Kareem Hunt thing, he's not going to be an active roster guy. So you have to understand that, like, if you think Kareem Hunt's going to be here to boost your fantasy team, you're wrong. He's going to be a practice squad guy at best for this organization, maybe getting up to the active roster at some point. But for the early parts, if they end up signing him, which I don't know that that's a given or a guarantee. I think it's more likely than not. But if they do sign him, it will be a practice squad type of signing. And they're not expecting Kareem Hunt to be put into the offense on Wednesday, tomorrow, and have him be an impact player on Sunday night in Atlanta. That's not the case right now. So, I don't know. I don't want to say I'm confused about the whole Kareem Hunt thing, but I'm just like, wow, I guess I really didn't see that come. Like, I didn't have that on my bingo card of things that would happen over the course of the next 10 years in Kansas City. Is Kareem Hunt coming back to this organization?
Yeah, last year, he had a career high in rushing touchdowns, scored 9 rushing touchdowns last year, so he can get into the end zone. I'm a lot like you, and I think a lot like a lot of people, because I remember yesterday I walked out to the bullpen once they announced that Isaiah Pacheco is, basically done for the season.
Yeah, well, right? Yeah, they say that, but some people think he could be back later in the year, at the end of the season or
let's
whatnot.
That's why I use the word basically. Let's say he comes back in mid-January. Yeah. So what's that, like week 16?
No, that's the playoffs, mid-January.
Yeah,
playoffs.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so yeah, that's like week 22. And you look at, where that is, that's missing the entire regular season. And I go out there and I let the guys know, Cody and Gold were out there and so was Drew. And I said, get ready to read Kareem Hunt's name over and over again. Cause the text line had said, like, who do we go get? And I think to myself, and I'm like you, I'm like, there's no way that Kareem Hunt would be an option. One, he's not even in the league right now. Two, he's dwindled fast.
Yeah.
And three, the obvious, how it ended.
Right.
Right. It's like, how often do you know of people who've gotten divorced and then realize, well, shoot, 5 years later, maybe we should try this again. It's happened.
It happens.
So
yeah.
It's not shocking, but it's awkward or weird where you're just like, okay. And then the other part of me goes to myself and says, Dusty, you always say, be a nice person, be kind. Maybe time heals wounds. And everyone deserves a second chance.
Uh-huh.
And I say that, kind of with an open mind, because I'd be hypocritical if I said, that you should be a kind person. You should take people, give people chances, even if you might have been burned by those people. And that's where this whole thing is, right? Like, we know the backstory, had this incident. Is this all that happened? Yes, Mr. Hunt, that's all that happened. Okay, well, then we'll discuss. And then 2 minutes later, TMZ comes out and says, actually, there's more.
Right, there's more. And there's video evidence of it, right?
And that's one of those things where, that wasn't something that, he did that made Andy mad. That's not something that just made Brett mad. That's what made, Daddy Hunt mad.
Right, exactly. Right? Yes.
And that's where I kind of thought to myself, there's not a lot of times in Chiefs dynasty that we are in where we've kind of seen Clark voice his opinion. That was one.
That was
where he was
one,
like, he's gone.
Right.
This is
really probably the only time that we've seen something like that.
I think it's that and Peters. I think those are the only two things Willie Clark put his foot down. Was like, this can't happen.
Right.
And everything else is normally what they signed up for with this franchise, which was, hey, Andy, hey, Brett, I trust you guys. If you need anything, let me know.
Right.
But, here we go.
And go then, have fun.
Hey, Mark, let's go worry about everything else.
Right. Go get us a stadium.
Which is perfect. That's why everything works so well. So that's why, to me, it was kind of stunning. And I remember Alex tweeted yesterday. He's like, remember that this guy lied to the organization. And I'm like, dude, I'm with you here.
Right.
But I'm also on the side of the fence where I'm like, you know what? That was 2018. I don't know if this man is, now a God-fearing Christian guy. I don't know if he's now just, the same person, or if he's, whatever it may be. But I'm on both sides of those fence. I think that's why a lot of people have that confusion. And then there's also the part of the aspect of does he make this team better?
Yeah, but that's the question that I keep coming back to, and I don't know that the answer is yes to that question, yeah. Right? I don't know that the answer to that question is yes. Like, of all people to put your neck out on the line for, if you will, right. By bringing somebody back after you broke away from the guy, 6 years ago or whatever it is, mm-hmm. an aging running back is not somebody I would have on the top of that list. He's had no NFL training camp. He has not played since last year, mm-hmm. and he's had two full seasons now that he has not had over 4 yards per carry. And so the last time he was averaging over 4 yards per attempt was back in 2021. And so to me, that shows the decline of a running back. And I understand it's desperate times right now. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, he's familiar with the playbook. It's been 6 years.
Like, I didn't understand. I'm like, there's no playbook.
Nobody's familiar with any playbook, right, after being 6 years removed from this. But I think what this does go to show you is that this three-peat for the Kansas City Chiefs is the most important thing that they've ever come across. They want this more than anything. And they are willing to do whatever it takes to get that three-peat, even if that means going back on their word and signing potentially somebody that they said lied to the organization, mm-hmm. and they cut during the prime of his career in a season where the Chiefs had the opportunity to win a Super Bowl then. So they cut bait with this guy in the middle of a season where they were steamrolling people, mm-hmm. and moved on from him in the prime of his career. Mm-hmm. But now with the opportunity to three-peat, they're considering bringing him back into the organization and giving this organization a little bit of boost at the running back position. I talked to somebody yesterday who told me they think the leadership of Kareem Hunt is really going to be important in this category. And I thought to myself, the leadership of Kareem Hunt? And I'm like, I guess when you start to factor in age, he would be the older veteran inside that running back room. I mean, right now, who's your leader? Samaje Perine, who's been here, a hot minute. Carson Steele, who's, wet behind the ears right now. And who else, in your running back room are you going to look at? Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still out, and he won't be able to come back until week five. The good news is they do expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire to come back in week five. That's why this move with Kareem Hunt doesn't look to me like it's going to be some kind of move where he's going to be the guy in the middle of this offense, because they are planning on Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming back in week five after, the non-football injury list designation expires after those 4 weeks. So they are expecting him back. That's why they're not in a rush to make a trade or go out and maybe pick somebody off a practice squad or something like that. I think this is an easy route for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe not a safe route, maybe not a popular route, but it feels like it's an easier route for the Chiefs to try to find somebody that's just out there right now looking for a job. So I think like all of us, we've all talked through this thing with Kareem Hunt and went, man, they got rid of this guy in the prime of his career, the middle of a season that, ended, I think, in the AFC Championship game that year, if I'm not mistaken, was the year that he was cut when they lost to the New England Patriots in that championship game in Patrick's first year as the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so here we are going out and getting this guy again for, one more run in the sun. I don't know, but what? If it's somebody that they feel is necessary and Clark Hunt has gotten through all of this that bothered him 6 years ago and he's able to get past it, then I guess as an organization, they're able to move forward and we'll see what happens.
To be fair, I'm not calling you out, but to your stat of the running yards, was behind Nick Chubb for the last 3 years.
Sure. But his average per carry is what I'm looking at. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And small sample, but yeah, I'm with you. 29
but
years old.
Decline of the running back, you know?
Just, and the only thing I will end with this conversation is he better than a guy like Samaje Perine or Jerry McKinnon?
I don't know why. Maybe McKinnon's just done, right? Maybe they call McKinnon. He's like, bro, I'm out.
He changed Patrick's number to don't answer.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I don't want to be tempted.
I'm not going to answer this call.
Hey, man, you want a third ring?
Nah, I'm good, man. Like, and his play declined last year too. Jerick McKinnon wasn't the guy last year that we saw 2 years ago go like 8 straight weeks with a touchdown or something like
Fantasy
that.
Fantasy geeks, you need to go put all your money on Samaje Perine. Yeah, that's the guy that's going to get a lot of action.
But I had so many texts from friends across the country yesterday. Go, what's going to happen fantasy wise? I'm like, I don't know. The same that was happening before. Don't pick any running back for the Chiefs.
Hey, Philadelphia fans, you like that? See ya. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Murray, executive producer Bob Fesco, executive radio personality, Dusty Likens, lucky to be here. Is it just me, or do you enjoy when Philadelphia loses, or is it, are we past that?
It is what it is. I mean, I grew up in North Jersey, so anything South Jersey was always ass, and so Philadelphia was always in that category for me. So I like when the Eagles lose, especially when Saquon Barkley drops a very easy pass that would have given the Eagles a first down and would have moved the sticks, would have kept the clock moving, but it didn't work out that way, and they let Kirk Cousins beat them at the end of the game. Like, of all people, Kirk Cousins beat you at the end of the game last night. So the Eagles are now 1-1. The Falcons are 1-1. Basically, the entire league is 1-1. Right now, with the exception of like Chiefs and Buffalo, everybody's trying to figure out, you know, where they are, who they are as a team. And that's why I said yesterday, and I'll continue to say today, everything we knew about the NFL in week one, we totally don't know about week two of the NFL. Like, everything changed on a dime in week two. And that's the beauty of this league. Like, I found myself last night sitting there watching the NFL pregame and all this stuff. Like, I'm addicted to this league, maybe more so than I've ever been before. And it has to do with, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs doing their thing. But watching watching the NFL last night, man, this is why this league is so great. Everything goes down to the wire. Everything comes down to the last second. Big play here, misplay there. The final 2 minutes of every game seemingly constantly just the lead just switches back and forth. It was another great game for the NFL last night.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL is the number one most entertaining thing on the face of the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally talking to a buddy of mine yesterday. And we both like had, it won't last, but we both had this like conversation of this is, I don't know if I can bet on the NFL for the next 2 to 3 weeks because I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, upset after upset after upset on Sunday. We always hear the common saying of how much parity there is in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Except when it comes to winning championships. Like, there's parity all over the place, but when it comes to winning championships, it's New England and Kansas City.
Right. Like, I'm pretty sure it started with Thursday night. Excuse me. Because I'm pretty sure Buffalo is a 2.5-point dog.
Yeah, well, you're going on the road on Thursday night?
To Miami.
Yeah, to Miami? You should be a dog. And 31-10.
Obviously, yeah. We know that game ended in two different ways, the blowout and then the Tua news. You look at the Saints and Cowboys, they give us a noon spectacular, and you're like, oh, so this is just foreshadowing what this week's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore loses at Vegas.
Right.
Another noon game.
Another noon game.
Where
another game that looked like it was in hand, and then, you know, you poop it away.
And I've seen a ton of people who are like, in my Survivor Leagues, first week I picked Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
You get the breakfast ball, they call it on the golf course.
Yeah.
Second week, I took, you know, the Ravens. No way they lose at home against Vegas. Oh, I'm out of my Survivor League. Well, you have a stressless.
So Carrington picked the first 2 weeks?
Right. And
what was that, like 3 years in a row where he was knocked out after the first 2 weeks?
Then he went on a run.
Yeah.
But, you know, call it an upset or not, but the Packers and Malik Willis beat the Indianapolis Colts. I know that was a home game for Green Bay, but they still beat the Colts.
But you had a backup quarterback in there.
Mac tried to tell us, once again. He tried to tell us, put a little bit of sprinkle and respect on Malik Willis's name, and he was decent.
Are the Indianapolis Colts really just bad and just played a good game against the Texans in week one?
No, he was decent, and Gus Bradley's terrible and needs to be fired for the Colts.
I don't know who that is.
That's the defensive coordinator for the Colts. He needs to be fired.
And we'll get to that in Tough Tuesdays coming up here in a little bit later on. But, yeah, I mean, you look around the league, and there's just like, you know, I don't know if you want to consider it an upset, but the Bucs weren't favorites at Detroit, and they won that game.
No, that's an upset, of course, because Detroit's the darling of the NFL, right? Everybody loves Detroit. You're supposed to beat Tampa. If you're going to go to the Super Bowl, you win those kind of games.
Right.
But maybe, look, Baker Mayfield, how much right now are the Cleveland Browns looking at Baker Mayfield going, unbelievable? Not only did we make a stupid mistake with the quarterback, we made a stupid mistake by getting rid of this quarterback. Yeah. We're just a stupid franchise. That should be their new name, the Cleveland Stupids. That should be what they should be called.
Well, I mean, I love it. Like,
I mean, seriously, like they should be called the Cleveland Stupids.
I hate that franchise.
Oh, it's the worst.
And it's awesome that they suck.
Yeah.
I have no issues with them doing that because I love seeing Deshaun Watson suck, and I love watching Houston Absolutely.
Watson. Oh, yes!
I mean, the way that Houston is at taking advantage of this thing, it's like the Bears almost taking advantage of Carolina's bad, decision making there and trading those picks to them. But of course, the Bears took Caleb Williams, so they're not in any better shakes anyway. But the Cleveland stupids. I mean, it's like you wasted all this guaranteed money on a creepo for your quarterback who's not really good. You got rid of a guy who was making nachos inside the stadium and literally living in the stadium with his wife and getting hot cheese in a cup. And you got rid of him, and now what's he doing? He's winning in Tampa. He went and took that team to the playoffs last year. He's got them, a 2-0 now this year?
That's right.
And Deshaun Watson is sitting there going, and he's
Watson,
in more trouble.
Yes!
I mean, it's awesome to watch the Cleveland stupids.
Who do you think is in more regret? And I'm sure the answer is obviously Cleveland. Cleveland or Vegas? Watching Carr do this in New Orleans or watching.
Yeah, it's got to be Cleveland because of the guaranteed
Cleveland.
Money.
Cleveland. I know. Take the money out of the side.
I would say Cleveland.
Yeah.
The Raiders gave Derek Carr 10 years. They gave Derek Carr a decade.
They did.
They did. But they did. How many head coaches did Derek Carr have in those 10 years?
I'm not saying. Yeah, of course.
I mean, he was never put in position to succeed down there. Look at Dennis Allen, you know, his guy from Vegas at one point.
Yeah.
They're winning games. They're looking good, man.
And then more games. The Niners lose.
Yeah, like, the Niners. Just, yeah, right.
And everybody's sitting themselves going, what in the world? And I looked at that stat today, and I read it to you guys. How much money is Vegas winning?
Yeah, a lot, right?
Like, Vegas is going, hey, guys, come on out. We'll comp your hotel. We'll comp your strip club. We'll comp your dinners.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out. 9-1.
9-1.
So far in 2 weeks are teams with a plus 5.5 or more spread are 9-1 right now in the first 2 weeks of the season.
It's insane, right? It's insane.
And you know who's 2-0?
The Chiefs.
Tell you, man, if this is where, like, I fall back after I've had 2 days to, like, kind of recover from what you've watched, because it's, you know, it's whatever it is. You watch something, your immediate reaction is one thing, and then, like, you're, okay.
Let me take a step back
I think to myself, and you know, people have asked me, like, what do you think about the game Sunday? And I'm like, well, I don't like those games. They're like, what do you mean they won? I'm like, yeah, but I'd rather them be, you know, it's 31-17. There's 2 minutes left. I don't have to worry about anything. And if they score a late touchdown, it's 31-24. Shocker, the Chiefs don't cover. But here we are. They win. It was easy. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't care if they win every game 22-21. Hell, I don't care if they win every game 3-2.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
As long as you win, and if you can win early and quick in the season, you are going to separate yourself, at least this year, in my opinion. Maybe this is, hey, Dusty, wake up. This happens every year in the NFL. But you're 2-0 against two pretty decent teams, whereas Baltimore has shot themselves in the foot.
They're screwed. They're not only 0-2, they're 0-2 in the AFC.
And they're, I guess, they're two games out of their division. So before you can even worry about Kansas City,
right,
you've got to worry about getting back to .500. Then you got to worry about getting the top of your division, which is still Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
Baltimore can't be over .500, Dusty, till week 5 at the earliest.
Ravens next 3 games at Cowboys, host the Bills at Bengals.
Hello.
Oh, wow. That's going to be a lot of fun. But who do they have this week, did you say?
Cowboys.
At Dallas.
At Dallas. Man, I don't know right now with Dallas. I mean, that thing's a toss-up right now.
Dallas can't afford to lose.
No, they can't, right? But you know what?
If they lose, they're 1-2. Jerry's pissed. Mike McCarthy's fired. And all of a sudden, Dash getting his money taken back.
Right. Yeah, like they're voiding that contract, right? That's why you never should have got into that contract. But that's Jerry.
The reverse side of that would be that with all these teams losing and only a few teams really just taking the driver's seat and winning, Chiefs, Bills, Houston in the AFC,
right,
NFC, Saints, Bucks.
That's about it right now. Yeah.
And you look at these teams and it's like, so there's room for error. Yeah, but let these guys all have to fight each other and then everybody's going to look in the mirror and you're going to look, you know, further down the season, be like week 7 or 8, and it'll be like, damn it. The Chiefs are 6-1, and the best team after them is the Bills, and they're
3-4.
No. But they could be
5-2.
They could be 5-2.
You had the Chiefs at 6-1, so clearly you're nuts too.
Sure, but I'm just trying to be realistic. So let's say they're 7-0, and the Bills are 5-2, and one of those Bills losses is to the Ravens.
Right.
Hello. And then when you play Buffalo again. So I said this yesterday, in the toughest season to win a championship because of what it means, winning a third in a row, to parlay three straight championships, never been done before, very rarely been done in professional sports, and then to look at it and think to yourself, well, if you're the most complete team, which very damaged now, we will see what they are without Pacheco, could be the easiest route to the Lombardi Trophy you've had, which is astonishing.
The hardest thing to overcome for the Chiefs this year may be the Pacheco injury. And I'm including other teams as well in all of this, right? Like, that may be the hardest thing for them to overcome. And then I go, okay, we've got Andy Reid and we got Patrick Mahomes. We're going to be just fine. I'm sensing a Travis Kelce breakout game this weekend, just from some of the feeling that I get,
if you will. I think it's next weekend because it's the Chargers.
Because it's the Chargers next weekend.
And he always does well against
them. I think it's going to come this weekend because it's Sunday Night Football. People are already talking about him being, you know, slowed down and all this kind of stuff.
Agree.
Pacheco being injured. I think this is the week like, if you're going to start Travis Kelce this week in fantasy, this may be the week that you go out and start Travis Kelce. Trust me on this. I had an inkling on Rice. I think I have an inkling on Travis Kelce this week. So that could be the guy that you're looking at to be the catalyst for this offense against the Atlanta Falcons. I think he gets going this week. And here's the other thing that I will say about what's going on in the NFL right now. This is why you can't get upset after a win. I know everybody wants 35-0 or 72-0, right? We want it to be pretty. We want it to be, you know, clean. We want it to be wonderful. That game was en route to a blowout if Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw a couple of interceptions in that game, right? I mean, that game is en route to a blowout. If the quarterback doesn't throw two extremely bad passes, this thing is blowout fashion against Cincinnati. So that's where I look at this team and I go, you clean up a couple of those mistakes, and if it's mistakes that 15's making, he's going to be just fine next week because he'll be hard on himself like nobody else is and take care of those mistakes, and you won't see those mistakes again from Patrick Mahomes. But this is the ultimate survive and advance league. Everybody is a player or two away from being as good as everybody else in this league. And so when you match these teams up and you're looking at who you're going to pick each week, it's hard to do, especially when it's against the Chiefs, because everybody's going to be playing their best game. And the fact that they're sitting against 2-0 against two teams that potentially played the best that they're going to play all year is really, really impressive. Now you got to go take care of an Atlanta Falcon team on Sunday Night Football that's coming on a short week, which is good. I do like that. But also, hey, they got a little confidence right now. They just went into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles. So they're going to be playing with a little swagger and a little confidence. And it's probably not going to be a blowout on Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs will probably win this thing by 3 or 4 points. We'll go, whoo, got out of there with a win. Thank God. And we just kind of progress forward and move forward with this whole thing. So this league is always very hard to predict. It's very, very difficult to go out there and try to figure out who's going to win these games because teams are so evenly matched. And that's why, you know, like the spreads are always 3-4 points because that's how close teams are in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's why we watch. It's why it's on every streaming device.
That's right.
It's why it's going to expand in every country.
Yep.
I mean,
it's just such a glorious product. You just every week it's something different and something spectacular that you're going to see.
2 o'clock on a Sunday is when you can call me Andy from Toy Story, because that's when I find my Woody.
They made a couple more plays than we did down the stretch. You know, we made some plays. They made more. You know, that's on all of us. That starts with coaching and goes to the, you know, to the players. We're all responsible for the loss. That's how close games are in this league, right? To 22-21. Sometimes it just comes down to a couple plays, but it's never just one play. It's never just that play, because all the plays equal up to, you know, to the win or to the loss.
I mean, he's right about that. Obviously, Nick Sirianni, they're talking about that play where Saquon Barkley had it in his mitts and would have had a first down. Wasn't paying any attention to the football, was trying to, you know, look before he caught it and run before he caught the football, and just dropped it and it fell to the turf. And instead of running out the clock, basically at that point in time, the clock stops and Atlanta gets the ball back and they're able to score. And the big question becomes, bad play call, bad execution. You're an NFL player. You're wide open. You got to catch that ball and fall forward.
Yeah, it's tough. And then this was his quarterback on that.
Obviously, it's a tough loss. We'll learn from it. You know, I trust him every day of the week to make a play, just like everybody else. And so we'll be better from it.
We're going to learn from it. What are you going to learn?
That's
learn to run it.
Yeah.
What are you going to learn in that situation there,
Jalen? more, I want to ask you guys this after last night, because we all can say that we watched. We just spent 10 minutes talking about how we're addicted to the NFL. Of course we are. I watched the entire game along with the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Dive into that here in a little bit as well, because I think I know why, and so does Bob.
Yep.
You are the way you are this year with this baseball team.
Why are you the way you are? I figured it out last night.
And more, is this game more on Philadelphia blew it or Atlanta went and took it?
Atlanta took advantage of the opportunity that Philadelphia didn't close out. You know, that's the sign of a decent team. Like, you took advantage of that opportunity. Philadelphia left the door open. And you kicked it in, and you allowed Kirk Cousins to go down the field and beat you with a sick pass for a touchdown, too, right? Like, that's a hard throw to make. That was a nice pass.
Drakey Lowe, baby.
By Kirk Cousins in the side corner of the end zone there to kind of win that game. But also, Jalen Hurts, you know, you still had 40 seconds on the clock, right? I know that the timeout situation was grave for you, but you got to find a way to move that ball down the field and get your team in the field goal range instead of throwing a bad interception at the end to seal that game for the Atlanta Falcons. Like, there was plenty of time for Jalen Hurts to move the ball down the field. Quarterbacks are paid big money in this league. They're paid more than anybody else at any other position. And so when the time gets tough, that's why you get paid the big bucks. You're getting paid to lead your team to a victory. And Jalen Hurts didn't do it at the end last night. Not even on that play where Saquon Barkley lost it. You still had an opportunity to go down the field, kick a game-winning field goal, and you couldn't put your team in that position. And 40 seconds in the NFL, whether you have timeouts or not, is a very long time if you do it the right way. Out pattern, out pattern, out pattern. Boom, spike the football, kick the field goal, win the football game. And Jalen Hurts wasn't able to lead his team. Not many guys are. We're very spoiled with Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, you look around the league. Are you able to lead your team in 40 seconds to get your $200 million per year? Jalen Hurts had that opportunity last night. And Atlanta made a play at the end and got the interception. But that was a terribly thrown pass. Terribly thrown pass right to the Atlanta Falcons defenders.
You make a 40-second drive to win the game sound like a layup. I mean, it's not that easy.
It's the NFL. It's an offensive league. Like, the rules
it's not
are,
this
the,
year. It's not. The, and last year, it's
the,
not.
The rules are so in your favor when it comes to offense, right? I mean, we benefited here on Sunday with a pass interference play. Throw it down the field. Get somebody to commit a penalty. Like, there are ways you can do it to try to win a football game. If you're going to take the cash, you got to produce the results. That's why I'm like, I don't pay any of these guys. You paid Jalen Hurts. You paid Dak Prescott. Neither of them led their team to a victory this past week. You've got to do more. The expectation is higher when you're making all that money. Look at Patrick Mahomes, man. That guy every single week leads his team and puts his team in position. I know he's a rare breed. 40 seconds
that's
left.
That's the end of the conversation.
I know, though, but still.
That's like being like, look at what Max Scherzer does on the mound 5 years ago. It's like, that's the best pitcher in baseball.
And Mahomes didn't lead his team to a victory this week. He was not the reason that team won this week.
No, not at all. But when the moment called for it, he found a penalty. You know? But Jalen Hurts, man, like, you've got to show that you belong, because there's a lot of doubt for people right now about Jalen Hurts, even coming into this season. I mean, the Philadelphia people are like hating Jalen Hurts. And I like Jalen Hurts. I think he's a good quarterback.
Again,
but you got 40 seconds left. At least put your team in position to kick a field goal.
And again, on the Philadelphia fans hating Jalen Hurts, welcome to Philadelphia. So that's another one of those things where it's just like, that's the city that you're in.
And they really hate Nick Sirianni today.
Good. They should. He hasn't. He's completely fumbled the bag, in my opinion. What about Atlanta, though? That's the next team you play.
I know everybody's going to be freaking out over Atlanta right now. I still think we're better than them. You saw them last night. It's fresh in your mind, Atlanta.
I think freaking out is a bit of a leap. I think that Atlanta is that, like, because Mac and I both are on record. I could take the time and go back and look at shows from the beginning of the season. This is a game that I thought
you
was
guys know,
be,
yeah.
I think it's a tough game. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how they show up as a city. Like, does the Super Bowl champ and the bad guys of the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, draw to the Atlanta Falcons? Like, are they as excited as, like, going to, you know, Vegas, going to, you know, if they go to Baltimore, go to Buffalo, it's like, I'm going to this Chiefs game.
This is an easy trip. Like going to Buffalo and Vegas, a little bit more expensive, a little bit more difficult, like easy
down
flights
south
to Atlanta, and you're there in no time, and probably an easier ticket and a cheaper ticket than it is at some of these other places, too.
And you watch what Atlanta likes to do. Kirk Cousins likes to let Bijan Robinson kind of be that guy that he is, who is a stud, just multiverse running back, and they do have a tight end that's not really done anything in the league, except there for some reason, neither is Mike Gesicki, and the guy had 1,000 yards on Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting to see where this game will be. It's another primetime game for Kirk Cousins. That's back-to-back. He just won his fourth game on Monday Night Football. And he's been kind of known to be non-primetime Kirk, mm-hmm. whereas the guy he's going up against, his nickname is Showtime.
Right.
So it's intriguing. I'm going to look more into it. We can dive more into that game as the week progresses. But this game is a little interesting. Like, where people like to say trap game, I don't know if I believe in that sort of thing. But this is one of those games where it's like, it's an NFC opponent. It's a road game on a Sunday night. It's interesting.
Yeah, the trap games to me are the ones where you're going against like a bad team. I don't consider Atlanta necessarily a bad team. The trap game is like you've got you just came off a Ravens game. Mm. You've got, you know, the Colts or the Panthers, and then the week after that you've got the Bills. Like that ooh, to me, yeah, is that sort of trap game. And look, I do believe, and I'll continue to say this, this team is so dialed in and so focused on three-peating and so focused on going 17-0 and so focused on embarrassing everybody, I don't think they're going to be ready for one of those quote-unquote trap games. They may get beat along the way, but it's not going to be because they weren't ready to go. And if some nondescript guy like Mike Gesicki beat you and Jamar Chase has held the one catch for or Mike, whatever the guy's name is.
Is it Jif or Gif?
Yeah, right.
Giraffe or Giraffe?
Jaminski, whatever the guy's name was in you know,
Gesicki.
In Cincinnati. If you let somebody like that beat you, so what? You held Jamar Chase to basically no performance in that game. And that's the way games work sometimes. You take away their star players. The Chiefs do a pretty good job of that. And if some no-name beats you, then some no-name beats you. You tip your cap to them, but you got to go out there and make plays. I think Patrick Mahomes has a big game this week because I think he's going to hear a lot about it from his coaches. Like, bro, what are you doing here with these passes? Mm-hmm. Like, those weren't good. The one that was intercepted over the middle, everybody in the stadium saw that one coming. And then you have Xavier Worthy, and you underthrew him. Just go up over the top. He can run underneath that one. Like, those are two bad passes by Mahomes, and I think that's going to fuel his fire this week.
This is a curveball to Mac, but on the other side, we'll get into our tough Tuesdays before we get into the Kansas City Royals. I'm Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Dayton Hughes will join us in about 30 minutes or so. Love to get his opinion on Atlanta. And, you know, maybe his opinion on what a second chance by Kareem Hunt might mean for Dayton Hughes. So, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Get into the Royals in about 10 minutes. But before we do that, we always like to call Tuesdays a little tough Tuesday.
Yeah, a little tough.
For what we would consider head coaches. And Bob, I'll let you lead the way because your name's first on the dock. But who do you think are having a very tough Tuesday day from the head coach's seat in the NFL? And again, this isn't necessarily like hot seat. This is just a tough Tuesday.
Tough Tuesday, yeah, right. Like hot seat this week, but maybe not hot seat in general. But I mean, I got to start with Giants head coach Brian Daboll. You know, he's the number one guy in the NFL right now on, I think, the hottest seat. Did you know the Giants became the first team in NFL history to score three or more touchdowns, not give up a touchdown, and still lose a football game?
Like, that's right.
It's impossible. And the fact of the matter is the NFL literally started 104 years ago today. Today is the 104th birthday of the National Football League, founded in a car dealership in Canton, Ohio. It's come a long way, baby, just like the Virginia Slim, right? And so I think Brian Daboll, for doing something that has never been done in 104 years, he takes the number one spot on the hot seat for me today. Somebody moved all of our hot seat guys, and now I have no idea where they are. So thank you for whoever deleted them
right,
off
no,
the
they're,
dock.
They're right below you. They're right below you.
Where am I looking, man? It's gone off of my sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Is it off of your sheet, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not there.
No, it's gone. So I don't know who else is on my hot seat.
You've got John Harbaugh next. I'm so sorry. It's right there.
What segment are you not there?
I'd refresh, man. I don't know. I'm staring at it.
It is not the. Do you see it on my sheet at all?
I'm so sorry.
No, it's definitely gone.
So segment over.
No.
I can't remember.
You got John Harbaugh.
Got Harbaugh, I know I put on the hot seat. You're 0-2 right now. You got to figure out a way to get to 500. So I'm all lost here. Dusty, you go ahead.
Yeah, I got Daboll for sure. I can't actually think or believe that he's going to be around for much longer just because he did the exact same thing, which is always the death to a coach, at least in my opinion, which is when someone in the media asks you about your play calling or who's in charge of example A, B, or C, and you respond with a quick, short, pissy response. It happened last year to Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
It's happened before to coaches. You've seen it. It's the foreshadowing, the writing on the wall. His Tuesdays are getting very, very, very terrible. Continue to run with Daniel Jones. Continue to let that man be a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's time. But here's the thing, though. The Giants have gone through so many coaches and general managers and everything over right. these last few years. Like, eventually you've got to say, we've got to stick this thing out. You're also giving Brian Daboll no quarterback in which to work. That wasn't his guy. So if you believe in Daboll as your coach, then you need to keep him on board. You need to allow him to do what he needs to do, like the guy in Carolina did by benching Bryce Young, and move forward. But also, too, Daboll and this GM of the Giants decided to extend Daniel Jones. So while they didn't draft him, this is why you can't get caught up in FOMO. Daniel Jones won you a playoff game 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and you signed him to a long-term deal. The list is back, magically showed back up on this Google Doc.
Another name I have on mine is Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing that I have learned from my life and experiences is that people normally don't get upset with you if you make a mistake. They get upset with you when you make the same mistake again and again and again.
Well, yeah.
And this is one of those things where it's like, Sirianni, did you learn from last year? Do you understand how to, you know, run the game, clock management, that sort of thing? And last night he fumbled the bag. You can blame Saquon Barkley for having to go out there and drop the pass. You can also blame Nick Sirianni for not being like, look, I don't care what we do, run the ball in the middle. If we get it, we don't. If we don't, we don't. Like,
you still take 40 more seconds off the clock.
You're taking
right?
time off the clock. Play the game that's been dealt to you.
Which is great talk radio conversation in Philadelphia, right. I'm sure today, right?
And then our boy Mac from Indianapolis.
Oh, that guy,
no,
yeah.
Shane Steichen.
Steichen's 0-2.
Yep.
Lost a division game week one. They didn't look great. He's lost a game week two against Green Bay. Didn't look great.
Right.
Michael Pittman is MIA. Anthony Richardson is, you know, that's your guy that's supposed
had
to be
had a great throw. We got excited.
Still got Jonathan Taylor. Oh, I still think Anthony Richardson's fine. But I'm just saying, like, it's not looking good there. It's a tough Tuesday for the Colts, Coach. He's 0-2.
Yeah. Also on my list, right, we mentioned Harbaugh. They're sitting at 0-2. Zach Taylor now, tough Tuesday for that cat, right? Mm-hmm. You're sitting at 0-2 right now, having to answer questions about losing to the Patriots still. Mike McCarthy is perennially on the hot seat, right?
Or his Tuesday is always tough.
Like every Tuesday.
Whether he wins or loses,
yeah,
exactly. His Tuesday, he's in Dallas, man.
Yeah.
You have a tough Monday through Friday.
It really is tough down there for him. But you know what? He gets paid the big bucks. He can suck it up. And we'll know sooner rather than later whether the Saints win was just the Saints being a really good football team or Dallas just being a really bad football team. So we'll find out sooner rather than later. The final guy on my list is Robert Saleh, because I don't think the Jets are a very good football team. They barely beat the Tennessee Titans, right? And this is a football team that everybody told me how great their defense was. Mm-hmm. The Jets have given up the second most points in the AFC on defense already this year. Damn. For this alleged great defense. Sauce Gardner isn't playing that well this year, and they've got a quarterback that's a mannequin back there, and your calling card has been your defense. Well, your defense got 2 years old while you were waiting for Aaron Rodgers, and they're not playing good. So Saleh's got to be on that list as well.
I was going to say, I agree with that one. I've got Saleh on my list as well. I'm the only one, it looked like, who didn't have Brian Daboll. So I guess I'm just really kind of putting that all on Daniel Jones and the offensive line and saying, you know what? I don't know what coach could do well with
been
that.
Been blaming the offensive line in New York for a decade.
No,
you know?
I mean,
when's it going to end?
They blamed,
you know?
The Monday Night Crew blamed him last night, Aikman and Buck, because they were like, look at what Saquon Barkley's doing. And then it was like, look what he's doing with an offensive line.
Yeah.
Look at him really enjoy himself with an offensive line here in Philadelphia. Like, geez.
I watched Belichick last night on the Manning cast. Oh, my God. I didn't know I could be so wildly entertained by Bill Belichick. He was like in coach mode during that game.
Yeah, he said he has three dartboards, two with Eli's face on it, one with Nick Foles' face on it.
He's
probably not lying.
No, he probably isn't, but it was so good to hear him kind of talk about the game, react in the moment like he was still a head coach, but also just continue to talk about the 28-3 Super Bowl like it happened yesterday. Mm. I can't remember what happened at the Chiefs game yesterday. This guy's rattling off play-by-play by moment by moment of that 28-3 comeback against the Atlanta Falcons. That was wild by Bill Belichick. He's really entertaining on TV. Where will he be coaching in week 5? New York or Dallas?
I don't know, man. I think he's having a hell of a time with what he's doing.
I think he is too.
He's like got two podcasts, two shows, 20, going to the Manning cast.
26-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah, dressing in a suit. He ought to start dressing like Pat McAfee on these broadcasts. The tank top. Let's go.
I love it.
I want to see him wear a Mahomes jersey.
Before we get out, all I have to add with Tough Tuesdays, Doug Peterson. He was number one on my before the season. He was number one last week. He's number one this week for me. Yeah, 0-2, and that team looks rough. You know, they paid Trevor Lawrence. They're going to have to get rid of Doug Peterson.
Chiefs have won, what, 7 straight?
Eight straight games.
Jags
the Chiefs
have lost 7 straight.
Oh.
Trevor Lawrence sucks. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Bob Fesco. That's Mac Morey. Coming up on the other side,
Heartbreak Warfare
with your boys in blue here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love talking about my friend Dawn Sharp because...
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.